Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Don't forget that you can catch an episode Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 on Home of Southern Sports, WQEE 99.1 FM. I'm excited to be here. I hope you had a great weekend. This is the week leading up to Super Bowl 58. I will talk about the matchup. I will talk about how both teams have stamped themselves as the best in their conference over the last 5 years. And then I'm going to get into all the local things that happen in and around the Columbus area, because this is a podcast dedicated to Columbus sports. A lot of activities going on around the area, including Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We had high school basketball action, as I can't believe that the regular season is almost coming to a close. We have playoffs coming up. Georgia Alabama Sports Live had their first ever baseball media day yesterday, a huge success. And then I will get into some of the coaching moves in the NFL. And the city of Atlanta does it again. They are going to be hosting 8 World Cup games in 2026. All right, let's go ahead and dive right into the show. Georgia Alabama Sports Live, myself, Thrift Behringer, had a very busy weekend. Called some region tournament games on Friday down in Macon East as the Glenwood Lady Gators win the region tournament. The Gators fell short to Lee Scott Academy. We had the Pacelli Vikings get the wins over Heritage. Then Pacelli turned around and got wins over a 5A school, Greater Atlanta Christian, at State Farm Arena. And then some of the other basketball action, including the Columbus Blue Devils getting a big win. Both the Lady Blue Devils and Blue Devils end up beating Thomasville. Carver was able to beat Crisp County. Just a lot of teams in action. Tonight, we've got the area championship between Auburn and Central for the boys and the girls. And then Georgia Alabama Sports Live is going to be in two places tonight, as Noah Shelton is going to be calling the Glenwood Lady Gators in the Elite Eight of the AISA as they will take on Morgan Academy. And I will be at the campus for the very first time at Spencer High School as the Spencer Lady Green Wave and Green Wave will be playing Southwest out of Macon. That is just going to be a huge matchup. Don't forget that Thrift Behringer and I will have our Georgia-Alabama Sports live show on Wednesday. We will drop our new rankings. The regular season is wrapping up in Georgia. This will be the final week in the regular season before we get into region tournament play and then the state playoffs in a couple of weeks. I can't believe that high school basketball is coming to a close. But then we start a new chapter. High school baseball just around the corner. What an incredible atmosphere yesterday at the campus of St. Ann Pacelli. Georgia Alabama Sports Live hosted their first ever high school baseball media day. We had 16 teams in and around the Columbus area that was featured, to include state champions, Calvary Christian and Glenwood, state runner-up, Central, Columbus, which is known as a baseball school, making it all the way to the Elite Eight, Harris County, having a new coach with Coach Dimitri, and then a good friend of the show, and he has been my broadcasting partner on Georgia Alabama Sports Live, the Carver head baseball coach, Michael Long Jr. He actually started things off for Baseball Media Day. WTVM's Tony Reese was in attendance, And there is a feature story on the news from last night. Of course, I recorded it. A great story by WTVM's Tony Reese, if you want to check it out, on Channel 9 WTVM out of Columbus. High school baseball is approximately a week away. There's a lot of games that are going to be starting on the 12th of February, and I cannot wait. I believe the next time we will be live streaming high school baseball will be when we have the Border Wars. Glenwood is hosting the Border Wars at the end of the month, and we're just trying to make that transition going from basketball to baseball, and I absolutely love it. I love baseball. It was just a great time yesterday. What a huge success, and Thrip Barringer and I, a lot of hard work reaching out to all the coaches. All 16 coaches made it, and they brought some players, and it was just good exposure for these players in the community, and I'm just so excited that we were able to do that. Well, since we have 10 days until pitchers and catchers report in Major League Baseball, baseball has already started, especially for the Columbus State Cougars. They take 2 out of 3 on the road against Eckhart College, and they are currently 2-1 on the season. They will be hosting Albany State University this Wednesday at Burger King Stadium at Ragsdale Field. The Columbus State Cougars baseball team in action. Hey, the Columbus State softball team, they are 2-2 on the season as they were able to split 4 games in the Eagle Classic. And the Columbus State Lady Cougars, they fall to the Lady Jaguars of Augusta University, 65-51. They were led by Olivia West with 11 points. And the Lady Cougars dropped to 10-8 overall, 6-4 in the Peach Belt. They will take on their longtime rival, Georgia Southwestern University out of Americus, Georgia, next week at the Lumpkin Center, tip-off at 5:30. Meanwhile, the Columbus State Cougars, they fall by 8 points to Augusta University, 70-62. The Cougars have lost 5 straight. They are 9-10 overall, 3-7 in the Peach Belt. The Cougars were led by Wisdom Yubo's 23 points, and they will be in action, tip-off 7:30 at the Lumpkin Center on Wednesday against Georgia Southwestern University. And as always, you can catch these games on the Peach Belt Network, Cougar TV, or 88.5 WCUG. The LaGrange Panthers and Lady Panthers had a road trip this past weekend. The LaGrange Panthers dropped one of their games by 20 points to Maryville College, 97-77, but they turned around and they defeated Berea College, 87-69 on Saturday. The LaGrange Panthers are now 13-9 overall, 5-4 in CCS play. Meanwhile, the Lady Panthers, they drop 2 games over the weekend as they lose to Maryville College 78-69, and then they fall to Berea 71-63. The Lady Panthers are now 14-6 overall, 8-3 in the CCS. Great news if you are living in Columbus and you like big sporting events. The Tuskegee Morehouse Classic is coming back to Columbus. The first weekend in October. Finally, this classic left Columbus in 2019 and they went to Birmingham, and it is back in the Fountain City where it belongs. So now we have 2 big college football games in Columbus. We have the Fountain City Classic. That is that first weekend in November. Fort Valley State and Albany State. Now Tuskegee and Morehouse coming back to Columbus. And I kind of predicted this with the minor league baseball team coming to Columbus in 2025. They want to try to get more sporting events in Columbus because this is really a hotbed, not only for college football in the South, but it's really a melting pot of a lot of people that were alumni at these schools, and they live in Columbus, and it's just always a great event. I remember it back in 2019, and I'm just glad that it is back here in Columbus once again. So now we will have 2 college football games at A.J. McClung this season, and it's going to be an event. I'm excited. Looking forward to it. How about those Columbus River Dragons? Winners of 11 straight. On Friday, they got the 7-6 victory in overtime over the Mississippi Seawolves. And then Saturday, 8-5 on military night. A sellout. More than 7,000 fans. Mainly, you had soldiers from basic training at Fort Moore, like it was last year when they recited the Soldier's Creed. Such an incredible atmosphere. And you look at this Columbus River Dragons team, winners of 11 straight. They are just running away in the Continental Division. They got 77 points. They are 16 points ahead of the Carolina Thunderbirds. And they have the best record in the Federal Prospects Hockey League with a 23-3-2 record. And the next team that has the second best record is over in the Empire Division, the Binghamton Black Bears. But I cannot wait to see the Columbus River Dragons in action as they try to hoist their first Commissioner's Cup. They won an Ignite Cup in 2021, but they have never won a Federal Prospects Commissioner's Cup. They will have another home stretch. In fact, they're at home all the way until they're on the road on the 23rd of February. They're hosting the Baton Rouge Zydeco this Friday. They're turning around and hosting the Mississippi Seawolves this Saturday. Back hosting the Zydeco for a two-game series on the 16th and 17th, President's Day weekend. And then, get ready. Friday, February the 23rd, they go all the way to the Motor City up in Detroit to take on the Motor City Rockers. Why is this a very significant matchup? Because it's not only a three-game series on February 23rd, 24th, and 25th, but they are facing the former general manager of the Columbus River Dragons, Scott Brand. I cannot wait for that matchup. Right now, the Motor City Rockers are in second place in the Empire Division behind the Binghamton Black Bears. Your leading goal scorer for the River Dragons this season is Alexander Jimonoff with 24 goals, followed by Justin McDonald, who has 20. Then you also have Kyle Moore that has 16. Austin Doe and Josh Pietrantono have 14. And Alex Storjahan, Cody Wickline, both with 13. Ryan Hunter has got 12. So with the acquisition of Justin McDonald, I mean, he has just been an incredible player. 187 shots on goal. A plus 35 in plus minus. 64 points. He's got 44 assists. He has been the difference maker for the Columbus River Dragons this season. What an incredible player. And the River Dragons are fortunate. They're fortunate to have him. And I know that he is just a very special player. And he might be the type of player that puts the River Dragons over the top. And they finally get to hoist that Commissioner's Cup. And we can finally have a parade in Columbus, like it should be. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. We're going to go pay some bills, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about college basketball, the NBA, and some NFL coaching moves. I've got an opinion on that as well. And then I'll have my Super Bowl preview between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Super Bowl 58. It is Super Bowl week in Las Vegas, Media Day, Radio Row. Everything that you love about Super Bowl week is finally here. You don't want to go anywhere. It's a Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We'll be right back.
Yeah! Stick around.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Noonan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
We are back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I hope that you are having a great Monday, as I always enjoy the week leading up to the Super Bowl. And I have invested interest. It's Super Bowl 58. It's a rematch of Super Bowl 54. It's the San Francisco 49ers. 8 Super Bowl appearances. Taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Dynasty. The team of the 2020s. If Patrick Mahomes wins his 3rd Super Bowl, is he considered the greatest quarterback of all time? Well, that is really debatable. But I also think that the 49ers, who are a slight 1.5 favorite, could win this game, because if you look at the last 2 Super Bowls that the Chiefs have won, they've both been close. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to break down the matchups later in the show, but we did have some NFL coaching moves, and not necessarily NFL head coaches. I mean, I did talk about Dan Quinn being hired as the head coach of the Washington Commanders. Well, he found his new offensive coordinator, and even though there were talks and speculation that Cliff Kingsbury would go to the Raiders, Cliff Kingsbury is now the offensive coordinator for Washington, which begs the question, do the Washington Commanders trade up to get Caleb Williams? Williams worked under Cliff Kingsbury at USC. And my biggest takeaway on this hire is, what's going to happen to Eric Bieniemy? I think that Eric Bieniemy is not only deserving of an offensive coordinator position, definitely a head coaching position, but does Caleb Williams pull an Eli Manning and sit out if he gets drafted by the Bears? And is that really the best move for the Chicago Bears, to get Caleb Williams when you could still develop Justin Fields? Meanwhile, the former Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith has accepted the offensive coordinator position with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, the Steelers' offense has been bad. I don't know if this is the right move to turn that around. Just like in Atlanta, you still need a quarterback. And I'm not sure if Kenny Pickett or Mitchell Trubisky or Mason Rudolph is the answer in Pittsburgh. I know there's talks maybe getting Russell Wilson or getting Justin Fields. But is Arthur Smith really a good offensive coordinator? He had Derrick Henry, and he was able to just continue to move the football, and it got them number one overall seed in 2021. It got them to the AFC Championship. But it was a failed experiment as a head coach in Atlanta, and he wasn't necessarily a leader of men. So the new Atlanta Falcons head coach, Raheem Morris, was introduced in a press conference today. And my takeaway is, they still need a quarterback. Look at all the 2024 mock NFL drafts. Go get a quarterback. Look, I know they want to draft an edge rusher, and the latest mock draft had them picking Dallas Turner from Alabama. But you also have Kirk Cousins, still there, that could probably sign with Atlanta. You got to get the quarterback position right. That's the only way Raheem Morris is going to succeed in Atlanta. As many of you know, the World Cup is coming to the United States, Canada, and Mexico in 2026. And I'm excited. I'm a big soccer fan, even though the Columbus Rapids don't exist anymore. But the city of Atlanta is going to be hosting 8 World Cup games, including a semifinal matchup. The World Cup final is going to be at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, but it's going to be 5 group stage games and then some qualification games. This is huge for the city of Atlanta because it's going to not only boost the economy, it's going to attract a lot of visitors, and it's going to have that same feel when Atlanta hosted the Olympics in 1996. It's going to be much bigger than the Super Bowl, but I believe it's going to rival Atlanta hosting the Olympics in 1996. I do believe that. Anyway, on a sad note, I wanted to talk about this because I just was sad when I heard the news that Carl Weathers passed away over the weekend. And when it comes to sports movies, Carl Weathers had some iconic characters. Apollo Creed comes to mind from the Rocky movies. And then, of course, Chubbs Peterson from Happy Gilmore. And he was also in The Mandalorian, and he was recently shooting commercials helping Rob Gronkowski kick field goals for the Kick of Destiny 2 for this upcoming Super Bowl commercial. I was shocked when I heard, because he really has been relevant the last couple of years. I mean, he played in The Mandalorian. Lot of great iconic roles, including Dylan from the Predator movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Action Jackson. Loved watching that movie when I was a kid. And he's going to be missed. The former NFL linebacker turned movie star, just one of the most iconic figures in the history of actors. You know, we did have the Grammys last night. My thoughts on the Grammys, I don't really pay attention to it. I mean, music doesn't really captivate culture like it used to in the sports world to an extent. But, you know, the Taylor Swift saying that she's going to have a new album drop, I mean, this couldn't get any bigger for fans of the fact that Taylor Swift is going to be part of this Super Bowl. NBA action, the Atlanta Hawks win their 4th straight game. They defeated the Golden State Warriors 141-134 Saturday night. Despite Steph scoring 60 points, Trae Young had 35 points. And the Atlanta Hawks are 22-27. They are a half game behind the Chicago Bulls for the 9th seed. I do believe they're going to get the 8th seed and make the playoffs. Probably going to play the Boston Celtics in the first round. This is what they do. They win their play-in games. You give them one game at a time, the Atlanta Hawks can win a one-game series. Look at what they did against Miami. They were able to get the number 7 seed, and Miami just went on a tear and went all the way to the NBA Finals. Miami struggled. They have lost 8 out of their last 10. They're currently in the 8th spot. Will playoff Butler be activated, or will it be too little, too late? Right now, I mean, the Boston Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee struggling a little bit with Doc Rivers as their head coach. But how about Cleveland and New York? They have been on a tear. Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell, New York with Jalen Brunson. And I actually didn't think that the Knicks were this good. The Knicks can win a couple of playoff series, and they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I do believe that this Knicks team is capable of doing that. The Sixers are going to be without Joel Embiid for an extended period of time. He might be back in time for the playoffs, but the Sixers road to the final is going to be a tough one. They're already in fifth place. And you look at the standings, you've got the Indiana Pacers right behind them. They look like a team that can make some noise in the playoffs. It's going to be a lot of fun, the Eastern Conference. Now look at the Western Conference. You have a four-team race for that number one overall seed. OKC and Minnesota tied at 35 and 15. The Clippers just a game behind them. And the Denver Nuggets a half game behind first place. That is going to be fun if they could just win in the first round and we get those matchups. But I think with the Lakers really making a statement win in the NBA showcase game Saturday night, they go out in the Garden and beat the New York Knicks 113 to 105. And they snap the Knicks 9-game win streak. LeBron James had 24 points. Despite Jalen Brunson's 36 points, this was just an incredible game. They welcome back Anthony Davis. Austin Reeves, is he a max player? Probably not, but he is a very good role player for the Lakers, and I still think that the Lakers have some turmoil because right now they, even though they've won two straight, they are just a game behind the Dallas Mavericks for the eighth seed. Here's probably what's going to happen. Lakers are going to win the play-in game. They're going to get the number eight seed. They're going to face either Oklahoma City or Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs. And I would consider them the favorite, even though OKC or Minnesota is going to have home court. It's because it's LeBron. It's AD. They figure it out in the playoffs. They always do. You saw what they did as a number seven seed last year, making it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. The teams that I think that are going to be up and coming, Sacramento and Phoenix, you also can't count out the New Orleans Pelicans. Should be a lot of fun. I hate seeing that the Golden State Warriors are on the outside of the playoffs. I would love for them to get into that 10th and final spot for the play-in game, but they are a game and a half behind Utah. How fun would that be, that first play-in game, Lakers and Warriors? Anyway, the Atlanta Hawks are in action at State Farm Arena tonight. They are taking on James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers are in third place in the Western Conference. Kawhi is just having just one of those years. I think that if they had a comeback player of the year, Kawhi has been healthy all year. And the Atlanta Hawks are going to be without Clint Capella for about a week. Hopefully, DeAndre Hunter can come back. Sadiq Bey is hurt. But the Atlanta Hawks have won four straight. I like what they are doing. But they do have a tough stretch coming up, including a game on Wednesday against the Boston Celtics and the 76ers on Friday. But the Sixers are going to be without Joel Embiid. College basketball over the weekend. Well, I was optimistic. But I think that it's over for the Georgia Bulldogs. They're not going to the NCAA tournament this year. They lose to South Carolina 72-62 at Stegman Coliseum. And Georgia is now 14-8 overall. The only way they make it into the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to go on a run. And they're going to have to win the SEC tournament in order for them to make it in. Some of the other SEC games, Auburn gets a huge victory over Ole Miss in Oxford, 91-77. That is a way to bounce back after losing two straight games. The Auburn Tigers are now winners of two straight after beating Vanderbilt and then beating Ole Miss. And they are hosting the Alabama Crimson Tide this Wednesday at Neville Arena. Alabama in first place in the Southeastern Conference with an 8-1 record, 16-6 overall. South Carolina and Auburn both tied at 7-2, followed by Tennessee in fourth place. Tennessee got a huge road victory over the Kentucky Wildcats, 103-92. And Tennessee looking pretty good. Some of the other scores is LSU beating Arkansas 95-74. Texas A&M defeats Florida 67-66. And Vanderbilt beats Missouri 68-61. Now let's go over to the ACC, where Georgia Tech fell on the road to NC State 82-76. Georgia Tech is now 10-12. And I was very optimistic about Georgia Tech, especially after getting that one-point victory over North Carolina at McCamish Pavilion. They should be able to beat Wake Forest this Tuesday. And then they play Louisville on the road. And then Notre Dame on the road. These are winnable games, but I think it's over for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. 3-8 in the conference is not going to get it done. Meanwhile, the North Carolina Tar Heels, which when I have my bracketology show tomorrow, they might still be a number one seed. We'll see what the new rankings are going to be. But they do get the job done, defeating Duke 93-84. And Armando Bacot, who's one of the top players in college basketball, along with Zach Edey, had 25 points. I mean, he is just a force down low. Kind of reminds me of Paolo Banchero for the Orlando Magic. Looking at the ACC, because, you know, my tournament teams, I still believe North Carolina, Duke, NC State, possibly Virginia. Right now, those are your tournament teams. Everybody else is a bubble team. Absolutely. Everybody else is a bubble team. All right, well, I talk about the Kennesaw State Owls all the time on this show. They lose again to Eastern Kentucky, 86-76, and Kennesaw State is 13-10, and you don't think coaching matters? I'm not saying that Antoine Pettaway is a bad coach, but they really miss Amir Abdur-Rahim. What he is doing at South Florida, he's making a difference. I believe that Kennesaw State will get there, but they have absolutely struggled, losing heartbreaking games, and I think that they're not going to make the NCAA tournament this year. All right, time for another break. But when we come back, I'm going to have my Super Bowl preview show. Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. You don't want to go anywhere. It's the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We'll be right back.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location. 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste. The best chicken around. Fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
And we're back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Final segment before I get out of here for the day and you get ready for Braves Country Radio with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. By the way, just in case you're wondering, this is episode 786. Because I know you're keeping score at home. Always. Look, we got the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers once again. I know this is not the most intriguing Super Bowl matchup, but this has an Alabama-Clemson feel to it, just like those national championships. The Kansas City Chiefs have been the team of the 2020s. And ever since Patrick Mahomes was drafted in 2017, and he sat a year behind Alex Smith, he has led the Kansas City Chiefs
to at least the conference championship in every year he has been a starting quarterback. The numbers that he has been putting up are astronomical, and he could go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live, and he's definitely the most talented. But I do believe the Chiefs have caught a lot of breaks. In their division, the Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos have all been dysfunctional. If you compare Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady in his time during the Patriots, the Patriots have had bad divisions after bad divisions, and the Chiefs are able to catch breaks after the dysfunction of the Buffalo Bills and the complete meltdown of the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs. Do the Chiefs deserve to be here? Well, absolutely. I mean, they have one of the greatest coaches of all time, Andy Reid, and they have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Patrick Mahomes. But it's the defense that could lead them to a Super Bowl victory. Still, the 49ers are a 1.5-point favorite. You know, the line was as much as 2.5. But I think that is the right pick. The 49ers, if you match them up with all the skilled positions, you know, clearly the Chiefs have a huge advantage at quarterback, but the 49ers have the better defensive players, especially on the line with Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead. Although I think Chris Jones is probably the most clutch defensive player that's playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday, and he is going to be good for at least two or three tip passes at the line. And that matchup against him and right tackle Colton McKivitz, look out, because I think that Colton is going to have a very long evening. So how do these two teams get here? Well, the Kansas City Chiefs, which has been a very respectable franchise for years, hit a home run when they hired Andy Reid. They went from 2-14 in 2012 to making the playoffs in 2013. The Philadelphia Eagles just decided to let Andy Reid go in 2012 after going 4-12. It's like, hey, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need you anymore. Huge mistake by the Eagles. And remember, 2011 was the dream team that went 8-8. So there were some regression with Philly, and at the time, Michael Vick was still the quarterback. You know, they made that transition from Donovan McNabb to Michael Vick, and there was a little bit of a Kevin Cobb in there. But Andy Reid led the Philadelphia Eagles to 3 straight NFC Championship appearances, and then finally a Super Bowl appearance in 2004. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. He's probably number 2 behind Bill Belichick. It was tough. The Chiefs were getting to the playoffs, but they weren't quite getting over the hump with Alex Smith. Alex Smith was a good quarterback, but he wasn't a special quarterback. You look at their playoff losses. 2013 to the Indianapolis Colts, 45-44. Incredible comeback by Andrew Luck. They miss out on the playoffs in 2014. They lose to the New England Patriots in the divisional round in 2015, 27-20. And the last couple of years, they had a home playoff game where they were one and done. They lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2016, 18-16, and then they lose to the Tennessee Titans, 22-21 in 2017. That was a Marcus Mariota-led Tennessee Titans team that beat the Kansas City Chiefs in 2017. In comes Patrick Mahomes in 2018. If it wasn't for D4 lining off sides, the Chiefs might beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship, and they might end up winning their first Super Bowl in 2018. The following year, the 2019 season, the Chiefs play the 49ers in the Super Bowl. The 49ers were just really happy to be there under Kyle Shanahan. And they were still a very young team. You know, Debo Samuel was a rookie. George Kittle was a third-year player. And the 49ers did have a 20-10 lead in that Super Bowl. But Patrick Mahomes showing why he is destined for greatness. They get the Super Bowl win. And then in 2020, the COVID year, their offensive line was depleted. And they get blown out by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then in 2021, Joe Burrow outduels Patrick Mahomes. And then in 2022, back in the Super Bowl, no more Tyreek Hill. In fact, their number one wide receiver was Juju Smith-Schuster. They're able to beat the Eagles on a walk-off field goal on a very questionable pass interference call. But Jalen Hurts passed for 300 yards in last year's Super Bowl. Kansas City plays the teams close in Super Bowls. This is not going to be a blowout. I know everybody's picking the Chiefs in this game, but it's not going to be a blowout. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers, the team I grew up rooting for since I was a kid, winners of 5 Super Bowls. You know, the first Super Bowl I remember when I was a kid, I was about 9 years old. And it was the Super Bowl where Joe Montana said over to Harris Barton, his right tackle, "Hey, look, there's John Candy in the stands." And that just told you how cool and calm and collected Joe Montana was as he marched all the way down the field and hit John Taylor with a game-winning touchdown. The 49ers beat the Bengals 20-16. That would be Bill Walsh's final year. And George Seifert takes over as the head coach, the defensive coordinator. And the 49ers were great in 1989. That might have been the best team ever. Went 14-2, destroyed the Denver Broncos 55-10 in the Super Bowl. And then 1990 happens. Now, this was the year which I thought the 49ers were going to three-peat. Joe Montana gets hurt by Leonard Marshall. And if Roger Craig doesn't fumble, the 49ers end up beating the Giants. Well, Matt Barr hits a game-winning field goal. The Giants go on to play the Bills in the Super Bowl. And Scott Norwood misses a 47-yard field goal, and the Giants win another Super Bowl after winning the Super Bowl in 1987. 91 was a very tough year for the 49ers. That was when the Atlanta Falcons, the too legit to quit Falcons, swept them in the regular season, including a Hail Mary by Chris Miller that allowed the Falcons to make the playoffs, and the 49ers at 10-6 ended up staying home. They were depleted by injuries. I mean, Steve Bono was in at quarterback. Steve Young did not have a great year in 91. 92 was the year when Joe Montana came back from the injury. The 49ers played the Cowboys in the NFC Championship in a soggy candlestick in 92, where the Cowboys ended up beating them 30-20. 93, the Cowboys ended up destroying the 49ers 38-21. And then 94, the last Super Bowl win for the 49ers, beating the San Diego Chargers in the Super Bowl. Steve Young, the famous "somebody get the monkey off my back," threw for 6 touchdown passes. And then they were good all the way up until 1999. And probably the most puzzling season for the 49ers was that 99 season when they went 4-12. I mean, they still had Jerry Rice. They still had Terrell Owens. They still had J.J. Stokes. I mean, they had a very good wide receiver trio. Garrison Hurst got hurt in 98, and so their running backs were Charlie Garner. And I also think that that was also the year that Jeff Garcia became the starting quarterback after Steve Young got hurt. But they just had a disaster of a season. 2000, they go 6-10, but that was when Jeff Garcia was starting to become a passer of the football. 2001, the 49ers go 12-4, but they lose to Green Bay in the first round of the playoffs. 2002, the come-from-behind victory over the New York Giants, 38-14. They come back and win it 39-38, but they get smoked in the divisional round against the eventual world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers by a score of 31-6. And when it came to playoff droughts, it was a pretty long one until Jim Harbaugh got there in 2011. So 2003, in comes Dennis Erickson, who was a great college coach. He led Miami to a national championship, but he wasn't a great NFL head coach. Led them to 7-9. This is when T.O. and Jeff Garcia had their turmoil. T.O. leaves the 49ers in 2004. The 49ers implode. They go 2-14 under Dennis Erickson. He gets fired. In comes Mike Nolan in 2005. This is when they drafted Alex Smith, number one overall. Alex Smith had one of the worst starts to an NFL career. 1 touchdown, 11 interceptions. The 49ers miraculously went 4-12 that year. 2006, this is when Frank Gore just took over. They stole him in the draft. What a gem that the 49ers got. And they went 7-9 in 2006. I was really optimistic in 2007. 2007 was the year that Alex Smith got hurt, separated his shoulder due to Rocky Bernard's tackle. And the 49ers ended up having four different quarterbacks that year, including Trent Dilfer, Sean Hill, and Chris Winkie. And they go 5-11. At this point, Mike Nolan's now on the hot seat. Fast forward to 2008, where Mike Nolan gets fired after seven games. Mike Singletary comes in, and he was the interim coach, gets the full-time gig after going 5-4. 2009, Mike Singletary actually had a pretty good year. It was an 8-8 season for the 49ers. The 49ers were 3-1, getting ready to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan just torched them. And then they had all these close losses. And at this point, their starting quarterback was Sean Hill. But Alex Smith gets the starting job back after almost coming back to defeat the Houston Texans. 8-8 in 2009 wasn't too bad for the 49ers. I had optimism in 2010. This was the year that was an absolute disaster right out the gate. Started 0-5. Just close wins to the Saints. They were up 14-0 on the Falcons. They lose to the Falcons 16-14. I was actually at that game. The Philadelphia game, another close loss. And this is where Mike Singletary gets let go. And then Jim Harbaugh comes in with pretty much Mike Singletary's players and goes 13-3 and leads the 49ers to the NFC Championship, where they lose to the Giants at home thanks to a muff punt by Kyle Williams and then a fumble by Kyle Williams in that overtime. And who knows what could have happened if the 49ers would have made it to the Super Bowl in the 2011 season. 2012, Alex Smith gets hurt. In comes Colin Kaepernick. They go to the Super Bowl after being down 17-0 to the Falcons in the NFC Championship. So Jim Harbaugh, who was a great coach for the 49ers, led them to another NFC Championship game where if Richard Sherman doesn't tip the pass, possibly the 49ers go back to the Super Bowl, maybe. And then in 2014, everything started to fall apart. Just the relationship with general manager Trent Baalke, and the 49ers were decimated by injuries in 2014. The 49ers would finish 8-8, and that's all she wrote with Jim Harbaugh. It was a mutual parting of ways. Jim Harbaugh would go on to accept the head coaching position at Michigan. And then here comes probably the biggest free fall of any team in history. The 49ers ended up hiring the safe hire because the players liked him. Jim Tom Sula, are you kidding me? This was one of the worst hires when it comes to hiring an NFL head coach. And the 49ers dominoes started to fall, losing players like Frank Gore, Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman. Oh, it was bad. And I was there for it. I watched all their games. It was very hard to watch. I mean, Johnny Manziel beat the 49ers. That was his last win in the NFL. It got bad, but it gets a lot worse in 2016. The hiring of Chip Kelly was one of the worst fits when it comes to hiring an NFL head coach. I think that the 49ers were just hoping that this could help out the offense because Jim Tom Sula was a defensive guy, and his offensive coordinator was Jeep Christ, who was terrible. He was terrible. Chip Kelly would go 2-14. Then finally, in 2017, the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era begins. Now, it wasn't great at first. The 49ers whiffed on the 2017 first round, getting Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Not very good picks for the 49ers. But they made up for it when they drafted George Kittle with the 5th overall pick. And so I was optimistic that Kyle Shanahan could be a good coach eventually, but they weren't going to win right away because they had Brian Hoyer. And that just wasn't the ingredients to win. They drafted C.J. Beathard. At times he was okay, but the San Francisco 49ers started 0-9. Now, don't get me wrong. They were in a lot of games. They go 0-9, and then they make a very, very unique move in the midseason. I could not believe that they were able to get Jimmy Garoppolo. The Patriots just decided the quarterback in waiting behind Tom Brady. They didn't want to wait anymore. And even though Bill Belichick wanted Jimmy G, the owner, Robert Kraft, was siding with Tom Brady. And so the Patriots gift-wrapped Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers, where in 5 starts, he wins all 5 games. The 49ers go 6-10. The following year, 2018, there was a little bit of optimism, but in week 3, Jimmy Garoppolo goes out for the season, and the 49ers had to balance between Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard. Nick Mullins did have a bright spot. He did have that 34-3 victory on a Thursday night against the Oakland Raiders. But the 49ers were going to be in good shape when Jimmy Garoppolo came back because they would have the number 2 overall pick. They would draft Nick Bosa. Everything fell in line in 2019, including drafting Deebo Samuel as a wide receiver in the 2nd round. And now the 49ers look like a team that could just get there just about every year. 2020 was another anomaly because they were decimated with injuries. Nick Bosa goes out in week 2, and the 49ers finish to a 6-10 season where in their last 3 games, they weren't even playing at home. I thought that that was a weird year because COVID really misplaced the 49ers, but they would come back. Because of the health of Jimmy Garoppolo, they wanted to go in a different direction, and they said, let's go get a quarterback in the 2021 NFL draft. They trade away 3 first-round picks to move up to the number 3 position to get Trey Lance. Now, Trey Lance at the time, it wasn't a terrible quarterback. I mean, he did start 2 games in 2021, and Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt in some of those games. The 49ers go 10-7, and they find a way to get back to the NFC Championship after beating the Cowboys and the Packers. Really, based off of luck, they lose to the Rams 20-17, even though they had a double-digit lead in that game. The following year, well, it looked like Trey Lance was going to be the starter. But Trey Lance gets hurt in week 2 against the Seattle Seahawks. You know, they lose to the Bears to open up the season, and Trey Lance didn't have that great of a game. They do re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo just as insurance, and Jimmy G did start 10 games, went 7-3. He had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. But this unheard-of draft pick in the 7th round that I think the 49ers just wanted to get a quarterback just to have another backup quarterback on the depth chart, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, last year goes 5-0 in the regular season, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He pretty much had the same stats as Jimmy Garoppolo, but you could tell there was something special there, especially in that game against Tampa Bay. And also, I think it helped getting Christian McCaffrey in the mid-season. And now this is the 49ers team that you are going to get in Super Bowl 58. A team that should have beat the Philadelphia Eagles if Hassan Reddick doesn't blow up the play and Brock Purdy tears his UCL. The San Francisco 49ers are exactly who we thought they are. And I think they'll give the Kansas City Chiefs all they can handle. And I cannot wait for this game. Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. Oh, it is going to be fun. And we got a week to talk about the game. I'm going to have some great guests on the show. And I'm also privileged to announce that I am going to be a guest on the Philip Jordan Show. I'm excited about that. And I'm also going to have Nathan Spies on. I'm trying to get some other guests. But this is a very fun week leading up to Super Bowl 58. Thank you so much for listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Christman. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, my special guest is Blake Goss of New Spring Worship.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. For us, that scripture came alive because he did a new thing actually in an old place.
You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Christman.
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, home of Southern Sports and Talk, Noonan, Sharpsburg, Franklin.
The Baxters have a new first book. From number one New York Times best-selling novelist Karen Kingsbury, author of life-changing fiction, comes The Baxters, a prequel. The heart-pounding story of Carrie Baxter's wedding. Amidst family tension and the worst storm Bloomington, Indiana has seen in a decade. The Baxters, by America's favorite inspirational storyteller, Karen Kingsbury. Visit KarenKingsbury.com for more information. The Baxters, available now wherever books are sold.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.